Hello, welcome to the Gave Slave Podcast, episode 88. I'm Pardis.
I'm Simulator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we're here to talk about a couple video games and some anime.
Yep. So, I guess I'll go ahead and start with Rage, which, if you were, for lack of a better word, enraged at how they ended Halo 2 with its lack of an actual ending, you will hate how this game ends when you get to it. I don't want to give away too many spoilers, because that'll eventually be in the Game Over article anyways, and then you can read it at your leisure, but the game ends very disappointingly.
Is it like a continuation thing? Like, did they set it up for a continuation, or...?
They did set it up that way, but at least most games, when they do something like that, there's some feeling of, completion in the event you don't get to the next game. There was none of that. It's like, wait, where's the rest of the game? What happened?
Apparently it is non-existent.
Yeah, apparently so. So, I was a little disappointed in that.
Like, could we compare this, like, if you're playing Mario and it just ended with our princesses in another castle?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly how it was. So, I mean, overall, the game just felt very mediocre to me. I mean, it had some strategy in using different different ammo types from different weapons for different occasions. But for the most part, it just felt very mediocre. Like, there was nothing to really super special about it. So yeah, I should be getting a review on that up soon. So far I'm thinking 3 out of 5. I might change my mind as I write it to start reconsidering things. But right now it's just average. ID should stick to just random shooters and with a good multiplayer concept. Or not ID, sorry, id.
What else have they done?
They did the, I think id did Doom and they did Quake.
Okay.
And now they're owned by Bethesda, who Bethesda's starting to have a hit and miss reputation for me after this one. Because Fallout 3 is really good. I enjoyed Elder Scrolls 4 Morrowind a lot, or not Morrowind, Oblivion a lot, and I'm hoping to enjoy Skyrim when it comes out next month. But Brink was bleh, and this game was meh.
But aren't they just like the distributor? They're not...
Well, a lot of the times, like, they're actually the head team, as far as I know, on the other games. On stuff that besides Rage, where it worked mostly on Rage. But, so, we'll see.
I guess we'll see how it goes. I'm just like, they're just games not my alley. You would think I would love Elder Scrolls. But I don't know what it is about Elder Scrolls. I find it very tedious.
Maybe it's the way you learn which to get better at is by doing it instead of setting up skip points.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I like setting up the characters. I've helped my brother do that like a ton in Oblivion, but I have no desire to play it. And I'm like, and I think it looks cool in Skyrim. I think I like the sort of Nordic dragon, you know, hunter feel to it. I think it's really awesome, but I don't want to play it again because I just feel it's tedious. There's something about it that makes it feel tedious. And I can't describe it any other way than that.
Well, good news is you get Zelda just like 8 days after Skyrim anyways, and that's just what you want anyways.
Yeah! Less than 22 days! Yay! Though I have to wait a couple of days depending on when Amazon decides to ship it to me.
They're usually pretty good about getting games shipped out real quickly after the release date.
Yeah.
Well, I think when I originally ordered, way back in the day when I originally ordered World of Warcraft, they had it to me, you know, launch night.
Yeah, I think that's one thing they're pretty good at is they, a lot of times, I think Rampage will do this, orders a lot through Amazon, and he'll get a lot of his games released night is when it's actually on his doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten that with, like, Lord of the Rings when I did the special edition orders of the extended versions. I think in a couple of cases, I think at least with Return of the King and Two Towers, I actually got it the day before it was to come out.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it, like, Monday night instead of, like, Tuesday, which I'm like, well, like, I can understand. They probably shipped everything earlier, so it would get there by Tuesday, and I guess it just happens to be where you live that you might get it earlier, and it's only by a few hours, so it's not, like, a big deal. It's not like, Woo! I got it at 5 p.m. Monday night instead of midnight. 7 hours earlier.
Well, like with the case of an MMO, you can't play it anyways because you gotta wait for the servers to be up.
But at least you could install the, you know, 4 DVDs.
4 CDs, 1 DVD was what it originally was.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a DVD that worked at the time. So I stuck with the CDs.
Always on CDs.
But I got the, you know, WoW login I wanted, and then they merged it with Battle.net, and I don't have that anymore.
And that's your email address anyways.
Yeah.
That your WoW login really mattered because it was your character name you wanted.
Well, true, but it was one of the few cases I actually got to just put in Proteus.
Not iProteus?
Yes, or some other variant, because someone else had stolen it.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I'm surprised how many people don't use Zelda Queen. I can get it quite frequently. The only place I wasn't able to get it was when I signed up for Vindictus.
Huh.
It was not available, so I had to put numbers on the end. But other than that, every other time I've signed up with it someplace, available. I'm like, woohoo, I had the internet handle that is not widely used.
Lucky you. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to the new Zelda game. It looks interesting. Some new play styles are inevitably going to be in it, like with the little beetle thing.
Yeah, that was a little bit hard. Did you get to do the demo at all at
E3? I did the dungeon at
E3. Okay. Because that's a demo I did too. I probably could have stuck around and did all the other demos because it wasn't very busy because everyone was standing in line for the Wii U. But I was like, nope, I can wait. I just wanted a little taste of it and I liked it because even a little bit I had, the dungeon was a lot more difficult than some of the more recent ones that I've done. And just sort of sitting there thinking like, oh, how do I reach up and get that? And I like that. But, and it didn't help either. The guy I was with was like, do this, and now do this. It's like, let me do it.
Patience, I have been playing this for years.
Yeah, I got lucky. The lady that was, you know, my overseer, I guess is what you could call these people. She was watching me play, and then like, I got into the one room with the beetle thing. Then it's like, I defeated the money boss, I guess is what was in the room. And I got an upgraded beetle. It's like, okay. Well, I can get out this way. She's like, you're the first person to show up. I didn't have to tell how to get out of that room.
She's like, yeah, just give me a chance. I can do it. Like, I've been playing a long time. I might be a girl, but man, I've been playing forever. I guess speaking of playing forever, my retro gaming party's going to be well. We set up the Atari. And been testing all the games. There's only been a few that haven't worked in the new Atari. They might work in the older Atari. Or they just might need their... Oh, that's what I forgot. Rubbing alcohol. They might need their connectors cleaned.
Cartridges.
There's something quaint, though, about blowing in the cartridge and trying to fiddle it in just right so it connects and it plays. Because sometimes all you do is do that and fiddle and it works.
What is that game that we kept making my brother play with the dragon?
Dragonfire. Oh, okay, if anybody ever played this for the Atari, it was one of my favorite games to play. You're basically this little dude, and you start out, and it's a drawbridge. And you have to run across from one side of the drawbridge to the other by either ducking or jumping over the fire that comes out from the other side.
Okay.
So you do that, and once you get to the other side, you end up being like, it looks like a barrel on screen. You end up in this barrel, and it's in the bottom right-hand corner. The screen is black, and at the bottom is a dragon that patrols back and forth. And in the room is treasure. So there's goblets and crowns and treasure chests of gold and such. So what you gotta do is you gotta duck out of your hiding place in this bottom right-hand corner and pick up all the treasure, and it will open up another passage door in the top left corner. While you are out, the dragon moves and spits fire up at you. Yeah!
My brother just is like, always keeps... like trying to run left is, you know, even once he gets into the dragon's lair, and so he just like kind of runs out of the door and get fireball.
And he does it like 2 or 3 times in a row, so he loses like 3 guys in like quick successions, like boom, 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 dead. And it's like, man, you have 7 lives, and you just burnt 3 in like less than 2 seconds. And it gets harder as you go, because you know that's how Atari games are. There are no There is no grand finale. It's how long can you go and how high of a score you can get. And I used to be really good at it. I was so good that it would, you know, keep, like, resetting the level and starting over because I would get to the end. Because every time you progress, the dragon gets faster and breathes fire quicker. But the last dragon at level 8 is black. So you can't really see him on the screen other than his, like, eye and his nose where the smoke's coming up. And he moves really ridiculously fast.
Okay.
But it was just fun to watch him play, especially when it was in these games, considering he's just in high school. A lot of these
games are older than him.
Older than him. All of them
Swear that these old school games are harder than any games that come out now.
Yeah, I think he's realizing that too, because there's not the precision or the finesse that exists in a lot of present games. And like I said, there's no true ending. Once you get to it, it starts over, and it just kind of increases the difficulty.
But we expected that of games at those times.
What was the duck game?
Deadly Duck. That apparently is John's game, Deadly Duck. You're a duck that shoots upward at these crab-like aliens that basically drop bricks down. And if you can shoot the bricks, but if the brick hits the ground, you can't, like, go beyond the brick. You have to wait till it disappears. So you have limited position and where you can move.
Okay.
And as you progress in stages, there's these other little baddies up here.
They're kind of like urchins or something.
Yeah, they kind of look like urchins or something. They fly back and forth kind of faster, closer to the duck. Well, if you shoot up and hit one, they drop bombs that explode near you. So you don't want to hit them with your fire. If you don't hit them with your fire,
they don't do anything.
They don't do anything. They just fly back and forth.
And they get bigger. Longer.
So, like, the first time you find them, there's two. And the next stage you go, there's, like, three. And the next stage you go, there's four. And so it keeps progressing, and then little crab aliens start going faster, too, depending on how...
Well, the little crab aliens are, like, spazzy.
Yeah. They move erratically, and...
Okay.
Yeah, so Deadly Duck was his best. And then we had issues with Frogger. Okay, I didn't realize I had to explain this. I thought it was obvious, but he's, like, playing Frogger, and he's getting his, you know, frog across the street, and starts going across the logs and the turtle backs and whatnot. Well, he keeps dying before the frog can get into the, like, little hole. And what it was is he was aiming for the green spots, because he's like, I didn't think I had to aim for the blue spot, because he can't swim, because if you aim for, you know, the water or any other place, he dies. I'm like, oh, no, because I was, like, showing him how to do it. And I was, like, just, like, do-do-do,
you know. That actually makes sense, though. I mean, that would be an example of poor game design nowadays.
Yeah, I thought I had never really played Frogger on an Atari. So I was like, yeah, those green things must be lily pads. That's where he's got to get to, right?
Well, I think there was a version I played that actually did have lily pads there instead of just water.
Well, this is, you know, 4-bit Atari, so you can imagine. You can imagine what Donkey Kong looks like. Yeah, I have Donkey Kong for the Atari. Even says copyright Nintendo and all that fun jazz. But you know what's funny is Frogger was made by Milton Bradley.
Not surprised.
It's kind of weird looking at these old games and seeing, you know...
These names you recognize that have nothing to do with video games?
Well, that, and, you know, like, oh, look, that's a Konami game. Or a... Is it Namco?
Namco.
Yeah, with Pac-Man and such, and yeah.
Cool.
So it should be good times. I still have to pick out what game I need to make people get the highest score on, though. Something that can be quickly done, depending on how many people want to participate.
True. You can also do something like find one that has a versus mode, and do like a ladder tournament.
True.
Kind of limited.
I have a game with tanks and planes if you don't.
I think I have that one. I don't know if we've tested it out yet. Have to see. Some of the ones I wanted to work are not working, like River Raid and Mega Mania and Chopper Command died long ago. Rest in peace, Chopper Command.
I salute you.
Wait, I thought that one worked.
No, that was Choplifter or something.
Okay.
Chopper Command, you were like a little... I think it was a helicopter, and you basically had to protect, like, convoys of, like, army trucks from other things. Yeah. Dad kind of worn that one out many, many years ago. Okay, I guess enough about Atari games. We can move on to something else.
I think last thing that we at least have slated is you guys have been watching more Full Metal.
Yeah, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. We just learned that there's 5 13-episode seasons. It's a lot longer than I was expecting it to be. The sad thing is only though the first 3 are available for streaming, not the last 2. So we gotta get the last 2 on DVD. Thank you very much. Unless we want to watch them on Funimation's website on Hulu or something. Mm. But I like watching in the comfort of my own living room. Yeah, 65. I know it's not too much more. It's like 13 more episodes than 52.
Than the first series?
Yeah. There is a lot of difference. Oh, you know, it starts off relatively the same, but the original series really diverged in theme and everything compared to this one. So, yeah, it's just amazing in its difference. But it's been very enjoyable. There's a lot more character depth. There's a lot more, you know, description of the alchemy. There were some points I thought would be kind of weird because they introduced characters from Jing, which is a country to the east of the country that everything takes place in. Was it Mestrius is what it's called?
Something like that.
So I thought, like, oh, this is going to be weird, but it actually has been fitting very well.
Well, it made me laugh a lot because the main guy from Jing is voiced by
Todd Haberkorn.
Yeah, which many will know as Italy. And it's a similar voice that he does.
Still swear that series is just what happens when you mix speed and crack.
And history.
And history, sorry.
I guess speaking of Italia, I just heard that the Italia movie's coming out in, like, November or something. Like, Italia White, the movie or something. It's called White. I don't know why. I just saw it on Funimation's website. I was kind of dinking around there the other day because they apparently got the rights to do season 4 of One Piece as well, but it doesn't come out until summer of 2012. There's a new Last Exile series, which
I did see something about that.
Yeah, it's called Fam Silver Wing or something. I think it's only into, like, as far as I could tell, there's only, like, a couple episodes subtitled so far on Funimation. Birdie's coming out as a full series, all the episodes together in one disc, couple discs, which I thought was kind of cool. I was like, yay! Maybe I'll buy it now. And then I actually watched the first episode of Fairy Tale. I don't know if you heard anybody talking about that when we were at the con.
Heard about it before. Isn't it done by... It's not done by the same person that did One Piece. But the guy that does it trained under the guy that does One Piece.
Okay, that would explain the very similar art style. Because I was like, man, I'm like, I don't watch a lot of One Piece at all. But a lot of the characterizations look like One Piece characters. But maybe it's just a studio or something. Or what? That explains it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed the first episode. I thought it was very generic in sort of its plot, but so many people have been gushing about it because it just happened to link me to Amazon for the new release. And everyone was all like, this is like the best new anime series ever. And I know a lot of people say that about certain things, but apparently it's like 100 episodes long or something already in Japan.
Does it really count as a new series when it's 100 episodes long?
Well, considering we only have like the first 26 in the U.S., probably, at least
that's
for the
still 2 seasons. Just saying.
But it's only like a fifth of what episodes are actually in existence.
I guess when you put it that way.
Yeah, so I might watch a couple more just to kind of see how I feel about it. But I think Todd Haberkorn again does the main character in it as well. So I'm just like, man, now I recognize your voice everywhere after meeting you at, you know, NTK.
He's cool.
I don't know if you want to add anything else about Full Metal.
I don't know what else to add right now. It's a lot of it. It's interesting the differences.
It seems to make it slightly more complex, but I think it's just because we don't know what the end is, and everything that you were expecting from the previous series doesn't apply now in this one.
Yeah. I mean, like, very basic things like the character Dante doesn't exist, so, I mean, at least not yet. And I doubt she does, because there's another character kind of filling
that role.
The antagonist role.
Yeah, and the homunculi are not what you think they are. if you've watched the other series.
Yeah.
And a lot of the character, and a lot of it is too, not just solely on the Elric brothers. Mustang and his group also have their own, like, goals, which you kind of saw in the previous series, but now they actually are, you know, what, protagonists in their own right.
They're more actively seeking them this time around?
They're more actively doing things, yeah. They're not just kind of like, oh, you just happen to hear about something, that's it.
Cool.
And Armstrong has a sister.
I thought he had a sister before.
This is a scary older sister.
Ah.
She means business.
Okay.
Also, a lot of the characters are like hard as nails. Oh my god.
Yeah. And
there's a point where Mustang is severely injured and like bleeding out. He uses his alchemy to sear his wounds shut.
And then carves in his alchemic symbol on his hand because his glove is destroyed and uses a lighter
to make sparks.
To make sparks so he can use his flame alchemy.
That's pretty impressive. That's tough. I don't know if I could do that one.
Yeah, and some of the fighting is a lot more, you know, gruesome in this one. But some of the comedic elements are way overdone, like, compared to the original.
So they just basically took the original, the Full Metal Alchemist first series and kind of upped it up a notch on each aspect?
Yes.
Bam!
Spice Weasel.
Anywho, okay, well, sounds like something I'll probably have to eventually watch.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. We've just been watching it with dinner. We eat dinner and watch like 2 episodes.
I'm trying to watch Xand: Lost Memories right now. It's an interesting series, and I have no clue how to sum it up, really. I'm going to have to actually put that into words sometime. Well, and that's pretty much all I have for this week. How about you guys? You got anything else?
No, I haven't been doing a lot of games or anything, so...
All right, well... Since it is that time, I'm going to say Happy Halloween. May you not get killed by any zombies, and may your preparations have been sufficient. In the meantime, while you are waiting out the zombie apocalypse, why don't you spend it looking at the Gameslave website at thegameslave.com. You can also email us your zombie survival stories at mail@thegameslave.com, or you can even comment it on this website, on the podcasts. The most interesting one will get a prize, of which that I will determine based on stuff that I've tried to give out before.
Come on, people. We're trying to give you free stuff. Just say something. Don't make it incoherent. We want, you know, a well thought out.
Well, actually, incoherent might work if you're doing Crazy Dave. Crazy
Dave. No, because we need something to, you know, be able to read and say, oh, okay. That's a good thought. That's a good comment. Don't just make it something random.
Of course, Crazy Dave's not inventive now since I've already suggested it. So now you can't do it, people.
You will get points if you refer to fuzzy rodents as squirbles, though.
Anywho, so we will go ahead and see you guys next week. In the meantime, you enjoy yourselves, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.